Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Jesus said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, according to Jesus, to love God with our whole selves. And of course, we know that the second is like it. But like the hymn we just sang expresses, this total giving of ourselves isn't just easy. I think about some moments in my own path when it felt like God was asking for this, but I was only ready to let go this much. Okay, God, I'll go to seminary, but I'm not sure I'm going to be a pastor. Okay, God, I'll go be an associate pastor, definitely not solo, but I don't know about this whole ordination thing. And then, okay, God, if there's someone out there who thinks I could be their only pastor, I'll go. With all of my fear and doubt, I'll go. And here we did celebrate my yes to ordination a few years ago. Sharon Mosher gave me a book of poetry a while ago by one of the sisters that they know in Erie, PA. And the first poem in the book, in which the poet refers to herself as Old Monk, she writes, "Old Monk has spent 50 years in the monastery. She is left with a life of good deeds, at least 3 friends to carry her casket, a bag full of poems, and a nagging ache that she chose the wrong road when she left father and mother for some sake or other." And this old monk, when a sister asks her, "Don't you ever think about leaving?" she confesses with a smile, "I think about it every day." If even this woman of lifelong vocation in God's service thinks such thoughts, how much more do we find ourselves hesitating or struggling to let go of our entire being and doing into God's hands? Surrender. Do we know this word as a synonym of giving up against our will? I once had to surrender my passport and leave it behind at a border crossing where I was nervous about the country's level of corruption, and I felt very vulnerable when I let it go. Surrender is vulnerability. It is letting go of the things that we'd rather hold tightly. It is trusting that they may return to us in the same form or transformed. Or perhaps we didn't need them like we thought we did. It is vulnerable to go to a deep, dark, messy place like little seed did. Last Sunday, many of you spent some time with Catherine reflecting on who we are as a church and what gifts we have and what we see in our community. Today, we seek together to surrender who we are and what we have to God. Can we make ourselves vulnerable before God, going from clenched hands around the things that are precious to us to open hands? Can we say, like Mary did to God's messenger, "Here we are, the servants of the Lord. Let it be to us, with us, according to your word." We are thinking today of surrender like the greatest commandment, as an act of opening our minds, opening our hearts, and opening our souls or wills. Catherine will first speak to us of opening our minds.
To open our minds and see things a new way is sometimes just too hard. We don't want to see a new reality sometimes. I've seen this recently as my husband's dad has had dementia. And I've watched my mother-in-law wrestle with the new reality and really live in a place of denial, which can be protection, because it's just too hard. I watched a friend enter into a cancer journey that she never surrendered to or accepted, even in her dying breath. And I watched the pain that that caused for her and everyone around her. Sometimes, seeing things in a new way and surrendering to them is just too hard for us. Early this week, we all heard, if we listened to the news at all, that David Bowie had died. And I was thinking about the circumstances of his death and the way his new album was released just before his death. And I was contrasting that to the death of my friend. In a way, it seems, although I don't know David Bowie's intimate journey, in a way it seems that he had surrendered to a new reality in a way that allowed him to be creative and breathing life and new things even into his dying days. Rather than it being a winter of cold and non-productive place, it was a very productive place, it seems. And it would seem that that was able to happen because he said yes to something, to seeing his life in a new way. Sometimes surrendering means opening our mind to think outside the box. We all grew up with sayings that our parents were clear in our house. One of them in my house was, "Pride goes before a fall." And can you think of some others? If you can think of some others, please just speak them out. Sayings that you grew up with.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Cut your nose to spite your face. Say that again?
Cut your nose to spite your face.
Cut your nose to spite your face, yeah. A stitch in time saves nine. So some of those things are really true and helpful sayings. They're kind of pithy things that stay with us. And sometimes they're not helpful. If we held on to a superstition, for instance, like fearing that a black cat crossed our path, and if we truly believed that, how unhelpful it would be. Sometimes we need to think of things in new ways, and that happened with the people of Israel. We read about that in Ezekiel 18. Here are the words of Ezekiel. "The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, says the Lord, this proverb shall be no more. Know that all lives are mine. The life of the parent, as well as the life of the child, is mine. It is only the person who sins that will die." Israel believed, and maybe lived with hands hanging limp, with a sense of helplessness, that they would ever be punished for the sins of their ancestors. And Ezekiel invites them to see their relationship with God in a new way. "I will judge you, O house of Israel, all according to your ways, says the Lord. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, otherwise iniquity will be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed against me, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in death, the death of anyone, says the Lord God. Turn then and live." Israel was being invited to surrender the way they understood God and the way God saw them. God still invites us to surrender some of our ways of seeing. So I wonder today what it is that God might invite Hamilton Mennonite Church to surrender with regards to how God sees you and God sees people. I don't know, but it's a good question to think about. Imagine the freedom and the sense of agency Israel would know, and not being resigned to suffering the errors of their ancestors. Another way we open our minds is by trying to see things from another vantage point. This morning, when Susan came to do the children's story, she said, other people over there might not be able to see me. So over here, I could see her really well. And sometimes we miss things that are glaring because we don't step outside of the place that we've always been. I often think that if I didn't go to church, would I cross paths with some people who are very different than me? Would I see things from a different vantage point if I didn't exit outside my comfortable circle? So what does this mean with regards to the What We Think We Know document? Last week, after the service, someone who wasn't able to be here on the conversation because she was with the children came to me and said, you know, we talked about how it looked like people were doing well, but I know people in this neighborhood who are really struggling and in poverty. What does that mean for us to see from the impoverished point of view? And what does it mean to be a close-knit family here at HMC in the midst of a world that we identified as being so lonely and lacking connection? And what might it mean that this is an educated people in close proximity to a special school where children and youth struggle socially, behaviorally, and maybe with learning? I don't know. But maybe God invites us to think and stand and see from a new way all that's good and all that's challenging and offer it up as we listen to what he calls us to.
Surrender is opening our minds and asking God to help us see. Surrender is also opening our hearts and asking God to help us hear. This may be the space in which we really open ourselves to each other. Not only do we see what we see from new vantage points, but now we seek to hear what others have seen. As we open our hearts, we hold our own truth with humility and listen for the truth of the other. I may struggle with this part of worship, but I hear that it comforts you. I may think that this is an essential to being Mennonite, but I hear that to you it's a closed door that you're not invited past. I come to notice that what I call truth is in fact only my truth sometimes, a truth that maybe I need to release my grip on so that we can find a path as a community. In opening our hearts, we suspend the voice of cynicism. We allow the imagination of God to inspire us with possibilities that might feel impossible, but the impossible is, in fact, the work of God. In this space of opening our hearts, we surrender those thoughts of, that will never work. No one will go for that. And though history is important to teach us, this is the space in which we surrender. We tried that before and it didn't work then, so it won't work now. We surrender, let me tell you why I know better than you. We open our hearts and ask God to help us hear. So we open our minds and ask God to help us see. We open our hearts and ask God to help us hear. And finally, we open our souls or our wills. And this, according to Catherine's experience, is often the sticking point in truly moving toward growth and transformation. Because this is where we ask God to help us let go. Let go of our attachments to what was and what is in order to allow that which is to come. Attachments can be wonderful things, gifts, or negative things. Attachments could be our unhealthy addictions, but they could also be the tremendous gifts in our lives that could become even greater gifts if we are vulnerable enough to say, God, I want this to be yours first. I surrender this to you because I trust that you love me. You see, when we're opening our wills, we're not just dropping those attachments, those gifts on the ground to be trampled. We are laying our will, our strength, our desires into the strong hands of a God who crafted us and who loves us greatly, and who sees the possibilities for our growth and desires our growth. So this is when we suspend the voice of fear. Without fear in our way, we can open our hands and say, "Hear, God. Take these traditions that are precious to us, these practices we appreciate, these gifts we value, these people we love, and the ways that we are together, our stories, the spirit with which we express our faith. This is all for you, God. And if you have something new to show us, we want to see it, and we want to hear it, for the sake of the world you love." Earlier, we heard Jesus say three times to Peter, "Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Tend my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep." And on the basis of this confession of love, Jesus told him, "When you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." Theologian Ronald Rollheiser uses this passage to speak of the church and of baptism as the rope that consecrates us and takes us where we would rather not go. That is, when we are baptized, we are called out of an agenda of doing what we please all the time, and we open our hands wide to be led on a Christ-like path. And sometimes, from those other words of Jesus that we heard today, as we open our hands wide, there may be things in our hand that need to be allowed to fall to the ground. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. A grain of wheat is a beautiful thing, gleaned from last year's harvest, part of God's great provision for us. But if you hold that wonderful grain of wheat tightly in your hand, it will just go moldy. There are times when we need to trust that the gleanings we have saved from the last years of harvest have life within them to grow again. But we have to be able to loosen our grip. Walnut Hill Mennonite Church was my congregation in Goshen, Indiana. Those with the dream to plant that church wanted to become a church for the low-income neighborhood they were in. They found that there were lots of kids around who needed a place to belong. So beginning with only a Sunday school, eventually they became a congregation that had a thriving daycare ministry in their church buildings. But then there came one early Saturday morning when the phone started ringing. The church building was burning. Only part could be saved, and the part of the building that had held the daycare was lost. Walnut Hill had some difficult months ahead of them. Help came from other Mennonite groups, but as the small church discussed building plans, it seemed that in order to bring it up to code for a daycare in that time, the costs would be beyond them. For many, this was a sure sign that they couldn't continue with the daycare. But others found it very difficult to let go of this ministry that had so enlivened their congregation. Through many conversations and opportunities to really hear what each person had to say in the process, they came to a point where they decided to let go of the daycare. And as their relatively fast building project went on each matter, some people and to let go of their preferences to some degree. So what happened in this congregation when they surrendered those grains of wheat and opened their wills to God? The first thing that happened was that the church with whom they had been sharing responsibility for the daycare became eager to expand their own space and to take it on exclusively. So the Walnut Hill Early Childhood Center is still thriving after 46 years, last year serving 131 kids on a sliding fee scale at Assembly Mennonite Church. Something else that developed was Walnut Hill's genuine sense that their building is a gift from God, and they want to use it with that understanding. This attitude is one of the reasons that they have said yes to opening their doors to Alcoholics Anonymous, In From the Cold, and other community uses. Around that time, Walnut Hill also bought a house beside them, and that house has gone through many incarnations, welcoming teenage mothers, young adults doing volunteer work, and women coming out of prison. Walnut Hill didn't know what would happen when they opened their wills to God, releasing their control. This could also have turned out as a resurrection story, a surrendering of what is dear and seeing it return to life as a new daycare. But Walnut Hill's story of life was one of trusting that the gleanings they had saved from the last harvest had life within them to grow into something new and different. We can't know what will happen when we open our minds, open our hearts, and open our wills to God. And this is why surrender is such a vulnerable act. This is why the voice of fear needs to be told to go take a break. We have a well-worn and still challenging word in the Anabaptist tradition. The call to gelassenheit, or yieldedness, is one way of translating one of those elusive German words. Or let's say, surrender. For early Anabaptists, it was important to practice gelassenheit, to surrender themselves to God and to the community of believers. And Arnold Snyder writes that through this filter, faith was less about belief than it was about trust, evidenced in obedience and life and in life. Faith isn't just about what's in our heads. It's about what we do with our whole selves. Catherine has also told us that it is easier to act ourselves into surrender than to think ourselves into surrender. So we are going to do an act of trust together today, an act of surrender, an act of opening our minds, our hearts, and our wills, of opening our hands to God and to each other, as we look ahead to further times of listening and praying together of how God is calling us to live, to share God's grace and live Christ's peace. You should have received a shell or maybe a stone as you came in this morning. If you don't have one, when we start moving, you can go back, and I think the ushers will have some in the back corner. I'd like you to hold on to that shell or stone, unyielding as it is, smooth or rough, whatever it is. Hold on to that for the next few minutes. We will sing a song together as it is projected, asking God, take, oh, take me as I am. And then we will speak together a liturgy of surrender, leaving times of silence for listening for the call to surrender. Consider what your shell or stone represents of what you may have a need to surrender as we seek God's call to our church. As we leave the spaces of silence, you might also want to write a word or two or draw a little symbol on the post-it note you received, a word about what you are surrendering to God. And then after speaking the liturgy together, everyone who is able is invited to come forward and place your shell or stone and your folded up piece of paper into this vase here. And we will keep this before us in the next weeks to remind us of all that we desire to surrender to God and to each other. So hold on to that hard, unyielding little rock or shell, and let's sing together. Gracious God, you have chosen us, made us your own, and gathered us to love you, each other, our neighborhood, and the world. Thank you for the gifts you have given us. Thank you for the ways in which we have been blessed as a family, gathering, worshiping, and sharing life as your beloved. We count these blessings.
We have also felt the sinking weight of clutching our pain by rehearsing the
past. Together, we surrender past hurts, longing to be healed and to thrive together. We surrender our speaking.
Give us courage to speak and the strength to hold back, as guided by your Holy
Spirit. We surrender what we think we know, seeking new realities and vital things that may have previously escaped our view. We surrender so that we might embrace
what is true and good with confidence
and to see clearly what you desire for us. We surrender seeking to be faithful through our Lord Jesus Christ.